The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, this will be a first. I don't think I've ever referenced The Atlantic, which is a remarkably liberal publication, generally. I don't think I've ever referenced The Atlantic or used it as a guide, especially not on a Theology Thursday. But I'm going to today. I'm going to walk you through this entire article because it's just really thought-provoking. It can be very convicting as we look at the American landscape with respect to not just Christianity, but religion in general, but mostly Christianity and where we're going as a nation. The title of the article is America Without God by Shadi Hamid. He's brilliant, great writer. He's about 37. I think he's kind of a secular Muslim. As religious faith has declined, ideological intensity has risen. Right. Think about that. We're going to talk about the decline of religious faith in America and then ideological intensity as the religious faith has gone down. Ideological intensity, right versus left, progressive versus conservative, you know, all that has risen. Will the quest for secular redemption through politics doom the American idea? Just a great thought-provoking article and a lot there for us to wrestle with. As I think a lot of us can wrestle with the balance between our allegiance to our Christianity and to Christ and to the Word and to living out the Christian life, but in an American context where most of you are patriots, would call yourself a patriot. You love the country. I love the country. And the confluence of those two things, because oftentimes I think we kind of blend them together and we wrap Jesus in the flag or vice versa. And I think we have to be really careful with that. And as the country changes and becomes more secular, we have to wrestle with the reality of that. So this is just a great article. So I want to take you through that today on the show. And if you want to join us right here in the studio via video, you can do that on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. Just go to the Steve Noble Show, which exists at both places. And you can be right here with us in this really cool studio that we're blessed with. Not an expensive one, mind you, but it is kind of cool. We did the best with what we could. But before we do that, how many of you listen to like K-Love? You ever listen to K-Love? I'm Luis Palau. You know, Luis Palau, famed international evangelist. He went to be with the Lord earlier today. He was 86. He was born in Argentina. He went to work as Billy Graham's Spanish interpreter. I didn't even know that about him. But just a huge impact around the world. This was the announcement earlier today. He announced in January 2018 that he had been diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And then this is what came today. It is with a mixture of sadness and joy. Right? Stop right there, because if you're a Christian in Christ, we don't mourn as those who have no hope, right? That's why we can say that and mean it. It's with a mixture of sadness and joy that we share with you that Dad passed away earlier this morning. He died suddenly and very peacefully, just as he had hoped, his family said in a statement Thursday. This is hard news, but Luis is experiencing the beauty of the Lord face to face. What an awesome thought. He was born to an affluent family in Buenos Aires. Palau rose from obscurity to become one of the best-known international Christian evangelists of all time. And again, I didn't know that he was a Spanish interpreter for Billy Graham for several years before he started doing his own crusades, which he called festivals. And he earned the nickname the Billy Graham of Latin America, which is pretty cool. Reaching an American audience, however, this is from an article, presented more of a challenge. In 1999, Palau shifted his emphasis at home from traditional crusades, the longtime staple of evangelists, to edgier, more modern-feeling Christian outdoor, he called them festivals, to draw in non-believers. They had skateboarders, professional skateboarders. They brought in BMX guys. It was really cool, really geared towards younger people. The events had corporate sponsors and featured Christian rock bands, skate parks, and family activities. Quote, it revolutionized everything we do, Palau told the Associated Press in 2003. I'd never go back to the old model unless God held a gun to my head. And he was committed to that. Just a tremendous evangelist in all those years, or preaching the gospel to over 30 million people in 70 countries at his festivals, and just praise the Lord, a life well lived. And he's out of here, man. Family sad, associates, I'm sure people involved with the Luis Palau Evangelistic Association are sad, but he isn't. He's out of here. he's in the presence of the Lord, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and he's celebrating in heavens, celebrating having him there. So it's really cool, but really, really pretty neat that that happened. Okay, so America Without God by Shadi Hamid, and I'm going to walk you through this whole thing. We're going to take the whole show to do this, because there's just a lot of great thought-provoking meat on these bones here in this article. The United States had long been a holdout among Western democracies, uniquely and perhaps even suspiciously devout. From 1937 to 1998, church membership remained relatively constant, hovering at about 70%. Then something happened. Over the past two decades, that number has dropped to less than 50%, the sharpest recorded decline in American history. Meanwhile, the nuns, people that are they claim atheists, agnostics, and those claiming no official religious affiliation, have grown rapidly and today represent a quarter of the population. So we've gone from 70% hovering church membership, hovering about 70%, down to 25% of the country just saying, yeah, not for me, atheist, agnostic, or I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm not a member of any particular religion, denomination, what have you. But they wouldn't call themselves atheists. So those are the nuns, okay, 25% now. But if secularists hoped, this is a great point, if secularists hoped that declining religiosity would make for more rational politics, drained of faith's inflaming passions, they are likely disappointed. As Christianity's hold, in particular, has weakened, ideological intensity and fragmentation have risen. American faith, it turns out, is as fervent as ever. It's just that what was once religious belief has now been channeled into political belief. Political debates over what America is supposed to mean have taken on the character of theological disputations. This is what religion without religion looks like. Did you hear? This should ring very true to you if you're paying attention to the culture. This is what religion without religion looks like. Secularists hoping, get these Christians out of the way, get these fundamentalists out of the way, and then we're going to have a calmer, more peaceful society. But we don't. As the number of people that are claiming no religious affiliation has risen, the vitriol has risen right along with it. And that's what he's talking about here. Maybe America, you can't take the religion out of this country. You can take the religion out of the religion, but the religious fervor that we have now towards politics, you see this, don't you? On the left, certainly, but on the right as well. So, fascinating. Shadi Hamid, America Without God in the Atlantic. Not so long ago, I could comfort American audiences with a contrast. Whereas in the Middle East, politics is war by other means, and sometimes it's literal war, politics in America was less existentially fraught. Nah, not anymore. Shadi Hamid with The Atlantic. A great article, a lot of meat on the bone, which is why we're going to walk through it together through the rest of the show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather. Oh, my goodness. It's like 74, 75 out there today. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Father. The left-wing Atlantic actually nails this, my buddy Steve Dace wrote, about the article we're going through together today, America Without God. I linked to it on the Facebook Live side. As Christianity's hold has weakened, ideological intensity and fragmentation have risen. But American faith is as fervent as ever. It's just that what we once saw as religious belief has now been channeled into political belief. So Steve Dace, who's been on this show many times, goes on to write this. This is a correct read of history, though likely unintentional given the source. This is another way of saying that all cultures worship the one true God or idols. It's one or the other. As America has turned its back on God, it has turned towards idolatry. And idolatry always leads to sectarian and civil unrest as warring sides debate whose idol is more worthy of the idolatry or whose side is more worthy of worship. Pick your idol. You've got one. Now, for us as Christians, if you're in Christ, hopefully you worship the one true living God, but you struggle with that, right? So just remember that. There's no such thing as an atheist, and everybody's worshiping. I was looking this up, and I couldn't remember his name, and several people helped me on Facebook Live. Bob Dylan. Right? You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, and you could just hear him singing it. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, right? But you're going to have to serve somebody. And that's so true. And so as we look at this article, America Without God, we're working through it, realizing you can take Christianity out of America, but you can't take religion out of the human heart. We're going to worship. And so what's happening in America as we go more secular? Okay. And I'm reading this through this article by Shadi Hamid in The Atlantic, which is an unlikely source, as Steve Dace was saying. This is what religion without religion looks like, he's pointing to. American politics in the Obama years had its moments of ferment, the Tea Party in tan suits, but was still relatively boring, right? Look back into the Obama times. It was way more calm than it is now. We didn't realize how lucky we were, he writes. Since the end of the Obama era, debates over what it means to be an American have become suffused with a fervor that would be unimaginable in debates over, say, Belgian-ness or the meaning of Sweden. It's rare to hear someone accused of being un-Swedish or un-British, but un-American is a common slur now, slung by both the left and the right against the other. I would say it's almost exclusively on the right to say you're un-American. The left doesn't do that much because they don't think much of America. Okay? He missed that part. Being called un-American is like being called un-Christian or un-Islamic, a charge akin to heresy. This is because America itself is almost a religion, as the Catholic philosopher Michael Novak once put it, particularly for immigrants who come to their new identity with the zeal of the converted. This is the way it used to be. To a large extent, it still is, by the way, isn't it? With people that wait and eventually come here and love this country, there's like a religious zeal to it, right? The American civic religion, he writes, has its own founding myth, its prophets and processions, as well as its scripture, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Federalist Papers. In his famous I Have a Dream speech, Martin Luther King Jr. wished that one day, quote, one day this nation will rise up and live up to the true meaning of its creed. The very idea that a nation might have a creed, a word associated primarily with religion, illustrates the uniqueness of American identity as well as its predicament. I'm telling you, as we go through this, this should ring very true to you. The notion that all deeply felt conviction is sublimated religion is not new. Abraham Kuyper, a theologian who served as the prime minister of the Netherlands at the dawn of the 20th century, when the nation was in the early throes of secularization, argued that all strongly held ideologies were effectively faith-based and that no human being could survive long without some ultimate loyalty. If that loyalty didn't derive from traditional religion, it will find expression through secular commitments such as naturalism, socialism, or liberalism. I would add anarchy. You don't think Antifa has a religious zeal to it? Of course it does. Does BLM have a religious zeal? Of course it does. Because like Bob Dylan said, everybody's going to serve somebody. Everybody's worshiping. So we take Christianity out of religion, but religion is still in America, which is why you see the fervent level that we see. The political theorist Samuel Goldman calls this the law of the conservation of religion. In any given society, there is a relatively constant and finite supply of religious conviction. What varies is how and where it is expressed. This is so true. This is just screaming reality to me as we look at the state of the nation. Again, I'm reading from this article, America Without God by Shadi Hamid in The Atlantic, of all places. It's excellent. No longer explicitly rooted in white Protestant dominance, understanding of the American creed have become richer and more diverse, but also more fractious. As the creed fragments, each side seeks to exert exclusivist claims over the other. Conservatives believe that they are faithful to the American idea and that liberals are betraying it. But liberals believe with equal certitude that they are faithful to the American idea and that conservatives are betraying it. See, I would disagree with him here. The same reason I disagreed with him earlier. I don't think he's seeing liberalism and progressivism in the right light in terms of America. That's why liberals and progressives don't want America 2.0. They want no America. They see no value in America whatsoever. America founded by patriarchal white racist pigs who made all their wealth off the back of black slaves and have been abusing and forcing submission out of lesser people. They've been oppressing them ever since. It started in 1619. This is the way of Europe. This is the way of the white man. This is the way that leads you to critical race theory and intersectionality. White patriarchal society has been doing it to everybody else since the dawn of time. And white patriarchal society to these people is exemplified by America. So I don't think they're fighting for America. I think they're fighting for the destruction of America. Setting that aside. Without the common ground produced by a shared external enemy, as America had during the Cold War and briefly after the September 11 attacks, mutual antipathy grows. and each side becomes less intelligible to the other. Boy, is that true. How can you think that? How can you believe that? What do you mean you're for socialism? That kind of stuff, right? Too often the most bitter divides are those within families. Have you experienced that yourself? You and your son, you and your daughter, you and your spouse? Man. No wonder the newly ascendant American ideologies, having to fill the vacuum where religion once was, are so divisive. They are meant to be divisive. On the left, the woke take religious notions such as original sin, atonement, ritual, and excommunication and repurpose them for secular ends. That's what cancel culture is, by the way. No forgiveness, just damnation. That's what that is. Adherents of wokeism, he writes, see themselves as challenging the long dominant narratives that emphasize the exceptionalism of the nation's founding. Whereas religion sees the promised land as being above in God's kingdom, the utopian left sees it as being ahead in the realization of a just society here on earth. After Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died in September, droves of mourners gathered outside the Supreme Court, some kneeling, some holding candles, as though they were at the Western Wall. Do you remember that? When RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, the progressive left, the left, feminism, pro-abortion folks were like, that was like kneeling and holding candles and basically worshiping Ruth Bader Ginsburg with religious zeal. Because everybody's religious. Everybody's worshiping. The only question is, who or what are you worshiping? And as you take Christianity out of America, the religious zeal that's a part of our history and also a part of your nature as a human remains. And so it's going to get poured into something else. If we don't pour it into Christ, we're pouring it into something else. In this case, it's politics and the culture. Lots of great points. We're going to pick it up there when we come back. Oh, angels sent from above. You know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to me. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. America without God, which doesn't mean America without religion. Okay, America without God does not mean America without religion, because we're a religious people. Human beings are religious people, made to worship, made in the image of God, created to worship. That's why I was talking about Bob Dylan's song earlier today that, you know, you're gonna answer to somebody. You're going to work for somebody. You're going to bow down the devil or the Lord. It's going to be somebody. And so as we remove, the country gets further away from Christianity, it doesn't lose its religious zeal. Our religious zeal gets just put in other categories. And the purpose of this article, America Without God, as religious faith has declined, ideological intensity has risen, will the quest for secular redemption through politics doom the American idea? By Shadi Hamid in The Atlantic, an unlikely source for Theology Thursday. But I just find this article really fascinating, very thought-provoking, which is why I'm taking the time to go through it today. With you. So we're working our way through this. And the point being, as we remove Christianity and become more and more secular, America is still a deeply religious place because people are religious. And so we've replaced our religious fervor for the things of God, where 40, 50, 60 years ago, 70% of Americans were church attenders and church members. Now it's well below 50. And the rise of the nuns, people that say they're atheist or agnostic or have no religious affiliation, is at 25% of the population right now. So we're going more secular, but our religious fervor remains. It's just getting placed more and more into the political realm. Let me try to get back to where I was left off in this article. It's really, really good. Okay, here we go. On the right, now, if you're a big-time Trump supporter, this part's going to bug you, okay, but stay with me. On the right, adherents of a Trump-centric ethno-nationalism still drape themselves in some of the trappings of organized religion, but the result is a movement that often looks like a tent revival stripped of Christian witness. Doesn't it? I mean, a Trump rally? Talk about fervor. Wow. Donald Trump's boisterous rallies were more focused on blood and soil than on the Son of God. Trump himself played both savior and martyr, and is easy to marvel at the hold that a man so imperfect can have on his soldiers. Many of the right find solace in conspiracy cults such as QAnon that tell a religious story of earthly corruption redeemed by a godlike force. And you saw that, didn't you? Let's be honest. Some people definitely were, at least I can't judge their hearts. But you're always worshiping. Remember that. You're always worshiping. It doesn't matter who or what. So with the zeal on the right for Donald Trump, that always made me a little nervous. The zeal, the zealousness, the passion, the defense of, the coming alongside, the exaltation of Donald Trump as a fallen human being always made me uncomfortable. And that's what kind of he's getting here. Though the United States wasn't founded as a Christian nation, Christianity was always intertwined with America's self-definition. Okay, and that's true. Was it founded as a Christian nation? The Constitution doesn't mention God or the Bible not one time. Are there biblical concepts in the Constitution? Absolutely. The Declaration of Independence, slightly different story. I did my research project on that for my master's degree on a scale from 1 to 10. How much was Christianity intertwined with the founding of this nation? I'd give it a 6 or a 7. Strong, undeniable. Okay? But we weren't founded as a quote-unquote Christian nation. We're heavily influenced by Christianity. But it was founded as a secular nation to allow for religious freedom, which is flowing out of Christianity. You allow free will for individuals. Christianity was always intertwined with America's self-definition, he writes. Without it, Americans, conservatives, and liberals alike no longer have a common culture upon which to fall back. We've lost that common language. We don't have the common language. This is me now. We don't have the common language of American founding principles, and we certainly don't have the common founding language of Christianity. Those are gone. Which is why it's kind of like the Tower of Babel. And you talk to people on the left and you're like, I don't understand you. You talk to some people in the church. How can you vote for Biden who's pro-abortion and you're a Christian? I know you know the gospel. What's the deal with that? And they're like, how can you vote for Donald Trump who's such a scumbag and hates this people and does that? And it's like we're talking two different languages, right? Unfortunately, the various strains of wokeism on the left and Trumpism on the right cannot truly fill the spiritual void. Amen. What the journalist Murtaza Hussain calls America's God-shaped hole. Isn't that interesting? Religion, in part, is about distancing yourself from the temporal world with all its imperfection. At its best, religion confers relief by withholding final judgments until another time, perhaps until eternity. The new secular religions unleash dissatisfaction not towards the possibilities of divine grace or justice, but towards one's fellow citizens, who become embodiments of sin, deplorables, or enemies of the state. That's why we cancel you. That's like religious damnation, but in a cultural, political sense. So we cancel you. You're damned to oblivion. I'm talking biblical language here, so don't wig out on me about me using that word, please. This is the danger in transforming mundane political debates into metaphysical questions. Political questions are not metaphysical. They are of this world and this world alone. I take an issue with some of that. Some days are for dealing with your insurance documents or fighting in the mud with your political opponents, the political philosopher Samuel Kimbriel recently said to the author here in this article. But there are also days for solemnity or fasting or worship or feasting, things that remind us that this world is bigger than itself. Absent some new religious awakening, what are we left with? This is key to this whole thing, all right? One alternative to American intensity would be a world-weary European resignation. In Europe, the terrors of the Second World War are not really all that far away, but Americans must go back to the Civil War for violence of comparable scale, and for most Americans, the violence of the Civil War bolsters rather than undermines the national myth of perpetual progress. The war was redemptive, right? Why did we see 600 to 750,000 of our fellow citizens die? What was the primary purpose there? The abolition of slavery. Is that a worthy cause? Is that a noble cause? Absolutely. By the way, we're the only country on the planet that's done that. Sacrifice that much of our own blood to deal with chattel slavery. You could say you hate America, but do you give any credit to America for that? We're the only country in the history of the world that's done that. The war was redemptive. For better and worse, the United States really is nearly one of a kind. Again, this is an Islamic gentleman writing in The Atlantic. Okay, the article just came out earlier. I shared it on Facebook Live. France may be the only country other than the United States that believes itself to be based on a unifying ideology that is both unique and universal and avowedly secular in France's case. The French concept of laïcité requires religious conservatives to privilege being French over their religious commitments when the two are at odds. It's not how we do it here, right? But most French people still hold firm to their country's founding ideology. More than 80% favor banning religious displays in public, according to one recent poll. In democracies without a pronounced ideological bent, which is most of them, nationhood must instead rely on a shared sense of being a distinct people forged over centuries. It can be hard for outsiders and immigrants to embrace the national identity steeped in ethnicity and history when it's never theirs. Take post-war Germany. Germanness is considered a mere fact, an accident of birth rather than an aspiration. And because shame over the Holocaust is considered a national virtue, the country has at once a strong national identity and a weak one. There is pride in not being proud. So what would it mean for, say, Muslim immigrants to love German language and culture tied to a history that is not theirs, and indeed a history that many Germans themselves hope to leave behind? See the problem there? It's a great point. An American who moves to Germany, lives there for years, and learns the language remains an American, an expat. If America is a civil religion, it would make sense that it stays with you unless you renounce it. As Jeff Gedman, the former head of the Aspen Institute of Berlin, described it to me, quote, "You can eat strudel, speak fluent German, adapt to local culture, but many will still say of you, hat einen deutschen Pass." He has a German passport, right? Whoop-dee-doo. No one starts calling you a German. Many native-born Americans may live abroad for stretches, but few emigrate permanently. Immigrants to America tend to become American. Immigrants to other countries from America tend to stay American. Right? The last time I came back to the United States after being abroad, this is the author who's a Muslim writing for The Atlantic, the customs officer at Dulles Airport in Virginia glanced at my passport, looked at me and said, "Welcome home." For my customs officer, it went without saying that the United States was my home. It's a fascinating article. Embedded in his remark, there was a longing for being part of something. The force of the statement came from the juxtaposition of two apparent extremes. This is talking about another guy who went to Britain, and he was like, "I'd give my life to be able to belong to some country." That's what he's talking about. This guy named Zafar. What Zafar was prepared to sacrifice on one hand, and on the other, what he would have sacrificed for it, the casual remark of an immigration official, "Welcome home." When Americans have expressed disgust with their country, they have tended to frame it as fulfillment of a patriotic duty rather than its negation. As James Baldwin, the rare American who did leave for good, put it, "I love America more than any other country in the world, and exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually." Americans who dislike America seem to dislike leaving it even more. Witness all the liberals, he writes, not leaving the country every time a Republican wins the presidency, despite their promises to do so. And Americans who do leave still find a way, like Baldwin, to love it. This is the good news of America's creedal nature and may provide at least some hope for the future. But is love enough? Again, this is from an article called America Without God. Conflicting narratives are more likely to coexist uneasily than to resolve themselves. The threat of disintegration will always lurk nearby. Now we're talking about where the rubber hits the road here, with the future of the country, all right? On January 6th, the threat became all too real when insurrectionary violence came to the Capitol. What once was in the realm of dream politic now had physical force. What can unity possibly mean after that? Where do we go in a country that is deeply religious but has cast aside, largely and increasingly, Christianity? Because the people remain religious, and that religious fervor gets placed into the political realm and the cultural realm, which is why it's gotten so difficult and so dark. We'll be right back. Little Johnny Cash there when the man.
There's a man going around,
right?
Taking names.
Better be ready for that because one day he's coming. Welcome back. It is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Working my way. We're going to finish up now in the last segment of the show through this article, America Without God. I linked to it on the Facebook Live page today. So if you just go to the Steve Noble Show page there, you'll find it. And written by Shadi Hamid, excellent writer. This was in The Atlantic, of all places. America Without God. As religious faith has declined, ideological intensity has risen. Will the quest for secular redemption through politics doom the American idea? And he's, and his point, his large point is, listen, people are religious, period. So as we remove Christianity from America, America still remains religious. That's what he says. This is in the second paragraph. This is what religion without religion looks like. What does it turn into? Where does that zeal go? Well, it goes into cultural things. It goes into movements. It goes into BLM. It goes into progressivism. It goes into Marxism or socialism. It goes into the Democrat Party. For some, it goes into the Republican Party. You're still religious. You're still worshiping. You still have that zeal. It's going somewhere. So as you take Christianity out, where does it go? His point is, it goes into politics. Then what's that going to do to the country? America without God. Not America without religion, because people are religious by their nature. But America without God. Almost at the end here. Can religiosity be effectively channeled into political belief without the structures of actual religion to temper and postpone judgment? There's little sign so far that it can't. If matters of good and evil are not to be resolved by an omniscient God in the future, then Americans will judge and render punishment now. That's what the cancel culture is all about. We're God now, you're a sinner, and now we're going to cancel you. You're going to be, this is your death. It's appointed for 1 man to die and face the judgment. We judge you, and then you die. We deplatform you. Okay, that's what's happening here. We are a nation of believers. If only Americans could begin believing in politics less fervently, realizing instead that life is elsewhere. He's pointing to the supernatural, right? But this would come at a cost, because to believe in politics also means believing we can and probably should be better. You know, here's one of the biggest challenges about Christianity for any culture is instead of giving you a microscope or a periscope or a magnifying glass by which to study everybody else and their faults and their sin, God drags out a big fat mirror and sticks it in front of you. You look at the man or the woman in the mirror. You don't deal with your brother's speck until you deal with your own plank, right? And that's the challenge and why so many people reject Christianity, because instead of giving you license to judge everybody else, you're the one that's being judged. We don't like that, right? In History Has Begun, the author Bruno Macias, Portugal's former Europe minister, marvels that, quote, perhaps alone among all contemporary civilizations, America regards reality as an enemy to be defeated, unquote. This can obviously be a bad thing, consider our ineffectual fight against the coronavirus, but it can also be an engine of rejuvenation and creativity. It may not always be a good idea to accept the world as it is. Fantasy, like belief, is something that humans desire and need. A distinctive American innovation is to insist on believing even as our fantasies and dreams drift further out of reach. We continue to have hope for the nation, for the future of the country, right? I mentioned that earlier. That's the thing I love, really appreciate about Rush Limbaugh. I didn't have his enthusiasm. I didn't have his hope, his seemingly undying hope for the future of this country. I don't share that with him, because he knew that most people are decent. Then we see what we see in the media and social media, and that stuff gets blown out of proportion. But most Americans still just go to want to work hard, provide for their families, pretty much be left alone, and pretty much live conservative lives. But that's not what the elite wants, and that's not what they want you to believe, because that's too empowering, right? We got to crush hope. Back to this article. Last paragraph. This may mean that the United States will remain unique, torn between this world and the alternative worlds that secular and religious Americans alike seem to long for. If America is a creed, then as long as enough citizens say they believe, the civic faith can survive. Like all other faiths, America's will continue to fragment and divide. Still, the American creed remains worth believing in, and that may be enough. If it isn't, then the only hope might be to get down on our knees and pray. Really a fascinating article, America Without God. So that's why you see religious fervor in the secular realm over skin color, over gender identity, over sexual orientation, over progressive politics, conservative politics. Again, we're a deeply religious people. And even though you take God and the Bible and Scripture and Christianity out of the country in increasing amounts, you don't remove religion. Religion remains. And so that fervor just gets transferred to other things. And then it gets increasingly more divided because we've lost a common language. I referenced that earlier, kind of like the Tower of Babel, where God purposely disrupts everything by introducing all these different languages. We've done that to ourselves here in America. We don't have a common language. That's partially what Shadi Hamid is talking about in this article, America Without God. We don't have a common language anymore. Christianity used to be kind of a common language. Most people are 10 commandments. Yep, that's good. Bible, good, some good stuff in there. Are we a Christian nation? Sure. Nobody argued about that. Doesn't mean we're a theocracy, but just means that we're a nation heavily influenced by a Christian worldview, Judeo-Christian worldview. Yep, that was a common language. Our founding fathers. Our founding documents, Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, liberty, freedom, self-determination, limited government, decent education, empowering people to be the best person they can. You want equal opportunities, not equality of outcome, but equal opportunities. You want everybody to have an opportunity to succeed. Why? Because everybody's made in the image of God and has inestimable worth. That's the American creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, right? That all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. The chief among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Most people can get on board with that. But then, as we cast Christianity and truth aside, and you no longer look at that document like Martin Luther King Jr. did. He referenced the Declaration of Independence all the time. saying, hey, this is our creed. Let's just live up to what we say our creed is. If we live up to our creed, this is going to go well. We won't judge each other by the color of our skin. We'll judge each other by the content of our character. The critical race theory does the exact opposite. It judges you by the color of your skin, and your character no longer matters. So if you're white, especially if you're a white male, you're guilty. You're a racist. You're a part of the problem. You don't even know me. That doesn't matter. I know what your skin color is. I can see you're clearly a male, which is kind of offensive anymore. And there you go. Judge, jury, executioner. Martin Luther King would be horrified by critical race theory because all it sees is color. That's all it sees. So we're resegregating the country. You do realize that, don't you? We're resegregating the country. We're creating a bunch of silos. And America was never about, hey, you're an American, which means you're this specific kind of person. No, America was always a patchwork, a quilt, which is beautiful, and its diversity is its beauty. And so we're all Americans. We live under this ideal, the creed of America, but yet you live how you want, self-determination, liberty, freedom. You want to really emphasize your Italian heritage? Go ahead. You really want to talk about your Hispanic heritage, your Mexican heritage? That's fine. European heritage? That's fine. Knock yourself out. You want to have Seder dinners every week? Go ahead. That's fine. You don't have anything to do with religion? That's fine too. Welcome to America. Look out for your neighbor. Contribute. Care about the country. And otherwise, do what you want. That's who we were. But that's gone now for a lot of people. Rush Limbaugh would say it isn't. He believed that most people still believe that. I hope he's right. I don't know that. So we lost that language. Creedal America. What it means to be American. And now we're segregating. Think about that. Critical race theory, which is all throughout our schools now. We'll talk about this some more tomorrow. And intersectionality does nothing but divide. Satan loves it. The author of it. Division. Doesn't matter what your character is. Doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter what you care about. The only thing that matters is your pigmentation. White, black, Hispanic, Asian. And then intersectionality, sexual preference, gender, male, female. Now we segregate even more. We are resegregating. These progressives are resegregating the country. Allegedly, the party of inclusion and tolerance and for black America is actually segregating the entire country. Is that healthy? You know what it foments? Hatred and division. It foments hatred and division, covetousness, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And all of those are decidedly anti-American. They're anti-Christian. And that's why I said every once in a while, I'll float this out there, and I know for some people, it just drives them nuts. They think that's got a lot of gall. But critical race theory, you know what it wants? White's the new black. We need somebody. We're going to oppress somebody else now. So who do we oppress? We oppress the white European male, especially. We oppress you. We're going to have what? So just reverse the whole thing, because that's where critical race theory goes. The only thing that matters is your skin color. White fragility. White guilt. I mean, this is incredibly destructive. And on the other side of that coin, it really foments unforgiveness. Reparations, unforgiveness. All white people are guilty because of the color of their skin, unforgiveness. Do we forgive anybody for anything anymore? Well, you take Christianity out of America, America really remains religious. And like Shadi Hamid was saying in this America Without God, then they're judge, jury, and executioner. You don't worry about a future judgment. You do it now. We'll kill you now. Theoretically, for the most part, and cancel you. You've been judged, and now you must be damned. So we cancel you. Does this make sense? I hope this makes sense to you. It's really, really obvious. Anyway, America without God, that is what religion without religion looks like. Really powerful. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll be with you again. And like my dad always used to say this all the time, especially when we were having troubles. He'd look us right in the face and say, ever forward. And he was right.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.